This recording, Sweden 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune for her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself growing up in Sweden and the summers that we had that were quite memorable. My father, who was a teacher, during the summertime used to have summer camps for disadvantaged kids in the city. So those were kids who really couldn't afford, or the parents couldn't afford to do anything in the summer. So the government put up these summer camps for these disadvantaged kids, and that's what my father used to run in the summertime together with my mother. And of course, we kids, myself and my two sisters, we were there with them during the summertime. So we all really were fortunate to have quite wonderful summers together with a lot of kids. And my father was then the director of the summer camp, and my mother was what they call the housekeeper, or the one that sort of looked after everything at the summer camp. We had a cook, of course, with kitchen help, and we had counselors that were working with the kids. And I can't remember now how many kids there were. I would assume that maybe it wasn't a very large camp, possibly could have been about 50, maybe a bit more than 50 kids, so a sort of small size camp. And the kids really were quite fortunate because it was a wonderful location out in the archipelago, the Swedish archipelago close to Stockholm, and very, very nice countryside.
Oh yeah,
it was like they stayed at the camp for I don't know how long now. It's hard, you know, when you remember back, but I think they were there for at least a month, you know, straight. And I think we had a visitor stay in the middle where some of the parents might come down and so on. And
there were, like, activities and stuff?
There were tons of activities. We had quite a, you know, rigid kind of schedule where, you know, we always started out in the morning with kind of housework, and everybody had chores to do. And then there were sort of games and sports activities that we used to do in the morning. There was always swimming if the weather was good. we went down to swim. Mm. And my father was actually a swim teacher, so he was the one who was teaching us swimming. Mm. And then if the weather was really nice and was really sunny, we would sort of stay in suntan and play and so on. And then I remember we used to have like a sleeping time in the day, like a nap time. Everybody had to go napping. So we kind of, you know, went napping for a bit, and then in the afternoon we woke up and, you know, we had a little bit more of kind of sports or fun activities, a little bit of time to ourselves. I remember we were able to play, and it was sort of in a forested area, so a lot of times we were playing in the forested area. We were building huts, like, you know, Indian and cowboys kind of games, and it was quite a lot of fun, really. And it was just, you know, every summer for many years we did this until we were a bit older, and it was really a very, very good way of spending the summer for us too, and for the other kids as well, of course, and for my parents. They were able to make a little bit of extra money for the summertime, so that was, you know, sort of their sort of goal. So that was my memorable summers in Sweden.